everybody. It's Crystal with Kravis Forever, and I have my internet best friend on with me, Jared Lipscomb. He is a celeb makeup artist, cancer survivor, and Free Britney advocate. Jared, I am so excited for us to finally get to speak because we have been DMing for months and we're internet best friends, but now we're going to be face-to-face best friends.
We're face-to-face best friends, and as soon as it gets just a little bit safer, we're going to be in-person best friends. Yes. Oh my gosh, Crystal, thanks for having me. Kravis Forever, am I right?
Yes, yes, and it couldn't have come at a better time for you to be on with everything that's been going on. I can't think of a more perfect guest for this week.
Whew. Well, let me tell you, little did I know that once we helped Free Britney, that the war, so to speak, was just beginning. And I'm sure we're about to get into it. But yes, I think it is fortuitous that we are talking now, because there is a lot going on in the world of Britney, Free Britney, the Spears family, and oh my God, the book heard around the world.
Yes. Now, we connected initially through the Kravis love affair that's been going on.
Yes.
Do you love Kravis? Do you ship them, or is it?
Absolutely. And I've always had this admiration for Travis Barker in an unrelated to the Kardashian fashion, just because I've dabbled in the world of sobriety. Obviously I'm a cancer patient. So now I take medicine now, but I'm very familiar with that world. And I look up to a lot of what he's done personally. And I obviously am a Kardashian stan, and Kourtney, I've always have been a Kourtney because I'm the oldest sibling in my family. So me to me, it was just the perfect, you are too. Yeah,
yes.
So I just feel like it's very almost similar to kind of how I feel about Britney. It's like a second chance at life, and and Kourtney's getting her happily ever after. And Travis is like the coolest guy, and he's so hot. And I ship him. Yeah. I ship him.
Yeah, they're so good together. And, it's so funny because Kourtney has a little bit of a connection to Britney with regards to wearing the same dress. They both wore that same lace dress a few months back.
Yeah.
Britney wore it and everyone was doing the side-by-side comparisons. They both looked obviously killer in it. And most recently, Britney was reposting one of Kourtney's pictures. So I would love to see this queen friendship come to fruition.
You know, I think it could happen. I really do. I think Kourtney has the same, she obviously enjoys the youthful energy of people, and Britney has a youthful energy. She's also a boy mom, and Kourtney has a mixed gender kids, but she can definitely relate to being like having older boys in their teens, and they're around the same age. I think, hey, listen, and they're both experiencing this kind of newfound freedom, if you will. Obviously Britney's is much more serious than Kourtney's ever was, but yeah, I could see them once Britney gets a little bit more comfortable being on her own and confident with it within herself. I could see a friendship blossoming between Kourtney and Britney. And how iconic would those paparazzi shots be of them leaving the restaurants looking fabulous? Of course, assuming that they want to do all of that, because it's a Britney's choice right now.
Can you imagine a TikTok together?
Oh my God.
My heart. I don't think I could handle it. I think the internet would literally break. It would
collapse.
Wow. I didn't even think of that. You know what? You're right. Kourtney does gravitate towards like that really youthful personality, that kind of that innocent personality, like we saw in Addison Rae, and Britney definitely has that. She's very sweet, and the claws can come out when they need to, which I love about her, because I love that in a woman. But yeah, she does have that like youthful, happy, bubbly personality. So I think that'd be a really good friendship.
I do too. And I'm happy for whoever Britney decides to be friends with, because she needs, it's clear she needs a new crew surrounding her.
To say the fucking least. I can't wait to see her out and about. I mean, I know she's taking her time. She's getting comfortable. What a great day it's going to be though, when we see her just out and about, just doing normie things, right? Like walking around the streets of wherever she's living, whether it's LA, whether she decides to move, whether she just decides she doesn't want any of this glitz and glam. She just wants to live a regular life somewhere low key. I can't wait for that day. She's had it coming for so long. But we have to talk about all the Jamie Lynn Spears of it all. It's just what a week it has been. And I will admit, I followed the movement, but not to the point, obviously, that you are involved. I don't know that much, but I've learned everything I know from you. So
oh, good. Well, I'm extremely honored. Thankful
for the education I've received from you. I guess let's start with the book.
Yeah.
Just the book overall. I mean, I know that, you know, she claims that she just wants to have her freedom to tell her story, that she just wants to get her side out. And, you know, all of me says, like, the timing, it just feels like if you really wanted this moment to be about you, then you would do it when it made sense for the spotlight to be on you, not the moment your sister has her freedom.
Interesting, right?
Yeah. So do you really want this book to be about you, or do you just want to ride on the coattails of your sister?
You know, us within the Free Britney movement and the Britney fans at large, and even, you know, casual fans are all wondering the same thing. And what this media tour and the book itself, now that we've had copies, you know, leaked, and I think it's officially out for sale now. But so we now have what's inside the book as well as what she's saying. The first most notable thing that is standing out are just the hypocrisies that Jamie Lynn is saying, and even just with the release of the book. I mean, right there, Jamie Lynn is defending that this book has been 3 years in the making, that it's always been the same title, that it's, you know, been about her. And I'm sorry, I just feel, I've had, you know, many clients who have written books or have books in the process that are coming out. And you can postpone a book if needed. You know, especially with Simon Schuster, which I think all of my friends who've done book covers, you know, from my celebrity clients who've done book covers, I think they've all worked with Simon Schuster. And I know you can delay, you can push back, you can push forward. You have a lot of control as the author of the book,
right,
to decide when, where, and how. And I think it's pretty obvious that they were not planning on Britney's freedom happening. I think that is the first and foremost thing. No one on team conservatorship was planning for Britney to be free. And, you know, so this was just going to be another year of the book and, you know, another year and a book coming out and, you know, the pandemic and more money for the Spears capitalizing. What they weren't betting on was the whistleblower and all the revelations, right, that came out over the past year and a half.
That's interesting. So, you know, someone like myself, who's not as well educated on, you know, the happenings of this case, I just assumed she was riding off the high of her being free, but you're absolutely right. I mean, she was banking on just the notoriety of the case, not necessarily her sister's actual freedom, where she could rebut anything that was written in that book.
Oh, they were not planning for the rebuttals. And that's why I almost think even the podcast interview was a last minute ditch, because they realized how poorly the GMA, the Good Morning America interview, was received, that they thought, okay, let's try a different tactic, which is, you know, the tried and true method of real, raw, unfiltered, going to a non-mainstream outlet, going to like the outlet of the people, if you want to call that. But you know, I think that was, it was very obvious that that was a scramble and a last minute to try to course correct. And God damn it, would it be so hard to just apologize, you know, right, and just say, or to own up for anything. What are your thoughts after, like, where do you lie in the book? Have you read it? Have you,
no,
did you listen to the,
I listened to the podcast. And so I listened, you know, for me, not knowing everything, I'm pretty much as unbiased of a listener as you can get, right? So I really love Britney. She absolutely deserves her freedom. I think her dad's a piece of crap. I think her mom's a piece of crap, but I didn't really know too much about Jamie Lynn's involvement. So for her, I'm her perfect target audience, right? I'm pretty much unbiased. I just really like Britney Spears. I'm happy for her freedom. but I don't have any kind of bias towards Jamie Lynn. So I was her perfect listener. I will say the first half, a couple of things stuck out to me. One, she spoke like a little sister. You know, like I have two little sisters, and she spoke about her big sister kind of in a way that I could see my little sister's talking if I was grandiose and famous and she loved me, but maybe there was a little bit of that, you know, sibling rivalry. Mm-hmm. I felt like she spoke that way. And I was like, okay, this isn't that bad. There were a couple of moments where I'm like, that should have stayed in the vault. Like, you know, there is some sort of secrecy between sisters that you would just expect. Like the story about the knife, her having, you know, bringing her into a room, closing the door, holding a knife, saying she's scared. If you were seriously concerned for your sister's well-being and her health, you wouldn't have written about it in a book.
And well, and then, it, you know, because then you question, which was revealed at court on, you know, we're recording obviously in advance, but the court case that just happened with about Britney's finances, it was revealed by James' very incompetent new attorney that he can actually afford because Britney's no longer paying. Yeah. He actually accidentally revealed that the conservatorship was put in place to protect Britney because she was so bad at money, completely disregarding the entire lie for the past 14 years that it was to protect her mental health status. Right. So in one slip up of court yesterday, that whole mental health thing was shattered. So really, it is so confusing why a sister who claims to love her big sister, who has been portrayed to have such a severe mental illness that she cannot even have access to a debit card or to her own vagina, that she has to have her father approve IUDs to go inside of her when all she wanted was to have a baby girl all her life. Britney has been saying in interviews since about 2002 that she wants a baby girl. Not saying she doesn't love her sons immensely, but her family has felt complete with a baby girl. And she's always said she wanted at least four kids, maybe even five or six. So for them to forcibly stop her for having children and all of these, you know, gross atrocities happen to Britney, it just is so hard to justify hearing Jamie Lynn explain anything and to quantify. I mean, I would hate to quantify trauma because it's not fair to do so. Everyone's right, trauma is valued. And I do believe that. I do believe everyone's trauma is value matters, and they do matter. And I think Jamie Lynn Spears is being manipulative by convoluting this kind of pro, like, everyone matters, we all deserve to exist, we all deserve space in this world, which has been brought on because of the Me Too movement, because of inclusion of, you know, the BLM movement, because of LGBTQ becoming more an open space for people of all, exploring all their gender identities. It's become such a buzzword of inclusion that she's really using it to manipulate the audience and the casual listener like yourself. And it's really easy to forget that, yes, Jamie has also had a traumatic childhood to some extent, but while Britney was being drugged on lithium against her will, and again, having things forced inside of her, Jamie Lynn is telling a story that not only damages her sister's image right now in the present, but also a story that's not fact-checked, and in fact is so bizarre that Britney has specifically called it out as the only lie that Jamie Lynn has told. And then the weirdest part is Jamie Lynn actually has a documented story about her wielding a knife at a pita pit, which is a restaurant, if you don't know, like a little Chipotle style restaurant in the south southeast. And she actually is on footage with a knife, wielding a knife in a drunken fight that she got on. So it's so crazy. It almost seems that she's like taking these stories that happened to her and reframing them against Britney. That's where we're getting at a little bit within the Britney movement. We're almost viewing this as like, sis, are you okay?
I actually, so I kind of got more so from her, did you even write this? Honestly, like, I'm not even kidding. Like,
so funny.
Alex Cooper was asking her questions about things from the book, like reading her pages from the book in that first interview. And she's like, what? Like, she had no idea what she was talking about. It's like, did you write it or not? Like, it almost felt to me like maybe she didn't actually write all of this. Like, maybe if this book has been 3 years in the making, is it possible that like dad wrote some of this?
Oh, you know what? I am so against like anything conspiratorial when it comes to, because people are so crazy and get like nuts with conspiracies. But if this case has taught us anything, it is to question a lot, because a lot of the stuff I was being called a crazy conspiracy theorist for in 2019, when I went to court and I saw Britney Spears in court next to her mother, Lynn, sitting across from James Spears, and she was smiling, thinking back in May 2019 that she was finally going to be free. I have seen this, you know, go from conspiracy to fact, not just fact, but things from an espionage thriller, spyware in her bedroom. Yes. I mean, insane things that have happened.
I mean, just so, like you said, the IUD alone is like, it's out of this world. It's things that we can't even fathom. Like, imagine someone forcing you to put something in your body and telling you, you like controlling your reproductive system. It's just, everything is so bizarre. And then to watch her act like she had no idea what Alex was talking about when she read parts of the book, I was like, mm-hmm. Oh my God, did she even write this?
That's a good, you know, that's the first time I'm seeing, I mean, I'm sure that's not the first time that it's been brought up, but that is a very astute observation. And I would, you know, I would not be surprised if there was a lot of input, and especially if they were planning it as a way to control Britney's kind of, we think that they were kind of putting Britney into the retirement section of her career, an early retirement, where they could kind of capitalize on these Vegas shows and she could kind of live a more peaceful life as long as she would, you know, go along with the plans. And Britney obviously was not going to go along with the plans, as evidence from that, domination residency announcement that was a disaster. Yes. And because she refused, she was on a work strike that no one knew about, and then she was immediately committed. And that's just where, you know, I know we're talking about Jamie Lynn's book and I keep bringing up Britney's, the injustices of Britney, but I think the greater issue relevant. Comes from, why did Jamie Lynn really not know about any of this for 14 years? And then the basic thing I'm seeing, like the baseline I'm seeing, is Jamie Lynn, you know, we're kind of saying, well, she's a victim too. She was young and she's not that smart, which fair on all accounts. But the other side is she was named the trust. And, right. You know, according to her, Britney asked her, but according to court documents, Britney has no control over any of her finances until the conservatorship was dissolved last December, you know, or the end of November.
But not only that, I mean, even if you're not that smart, and even if you're young, your sister is disappearing. Literally everyone in the world knew what was going on with her sister. It's just impossible to me to think that she didn't have access to a television to be able to see what was going on. I mean, it was mainstream news back then. Britney was everywhere. Yeah. I mean, everyone knew about her. Everyone knew what was going on. Everyone knew every moment of her life. And to say that, you know, her also being in the media didn't know anything, her own sister. And then when her sister disappeared, she didn't wonder, you know, I just don't see it. You know, it seemed a little.
Well, and just to address, just to show that we are dealing with someone who is lying for kind of like pointless reasons. Like, I just saw that Target had the stickers already for her book. I don't know if you saw this, and it had the original title, I Must Confess Things I Should Have Said. I Must Confess Things I Should Have Said, blah, 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 some subtitle. And that's what it was called, I Must Confess. Well, when the title was leaked, the fans got very upset because they said, you're profiting. How dare you profit off of Britney's iconic lyrics that she hasn't even been able to profit off of for 14 years? How dare you, especially when you say this is a book about yourself, then call it Jamie Lynn 101. You know what I mean? Why call it I Must Confess? And so now we're seeing Target never got the updated labels. So now Jamie Lynn is caught in a very bold-faced lie, because right there on the Target shelves and Walmart shelves, you can see I Must Confess, and it says Jamie Lynn Spears, and that's the little labels they have. And then right above it is the book, Things I Should Have Said. So she already lied about that. Yeah, yeah, contradicts, lies, just kind of stretches the truth to fit her narrative, you know, and she's drying her tears that don't exist. And in 1 minute, her sister is her mom who takes care of her. And then in the next minute, Justin Timberlake is her father figure.
That's so bizarre.
It's just so, I mean, I do want to say this. I am not completely callous and cold to the fact that Jamie Lynn is definitely a product of a very fucked up family. That is point blank. But when you are selling a book and you have the freedom to do so, that's the greater issue. And that's why I'm so annoyed at that woman for giving her a platform. She should have just waited. She could have probably gotten Britney on her platform. That girl has gotten so many decent celebrities. I don't know one thing or the other about her story because I was battling my leukemia during all that Call Me Daddy drama. So I don't know about it, but I know, you know, it's whatever the deal is. Like if she could have just had some patience, she probably could have gotten Britney. Britney probably doesn't want to do a mainstream media interview if you really think about it. She's been so fucked over by the mainstream media. So, you know, it's just so ridiculous on so many levels. And it's just hard for me to, I mean, I can't even take the book serious. Like you said, from your point of view, between saying like, does she even know what's in the book versus all the way she is a hypocrite from what she said to the book, from how she's sharing things in the interviews. Like, I can't take any of it serious.
No.
Like, it's a work of fiction, in my opinion.
I would agree with that. And then, so, you know, at the end of that first episode, I felt like, okay, you know, I don't hate her. I don't like her timing. I don't think she's that bright. You know, I didn't care for her, but I didn't hate her.
Yeah.
Second episode drops today. I am a changed woman.
So you can hear, dear listeners, that I'm obviously very partial, but I'm also very in depth with knowing the money and how the money works.
Absolutely.
So Crystal, on your end, you don't know about the money stuff. You don't know about all like how Jamie Lynn's husband has taken $1.5 million from Britney's estate that Britney didn't know about, that was approved by her dad when he was running the finances, like all this crazy shit. So I am very partial. So how did the second interview make you feel? I'm very curious to know, as someone who left the first one like that.
I loathe her, actually.
So what was it?
The second episode was just ripping on Britney the entire time. And it was complete different person, like a complete juxtaposition of everything she said in the first episode, where she was like, oh, it's my big sister. That's my mom figure. I love her. I will always love her. The second one slammed her. Just slandered her name from the second it started to the second it ended. I was so disgusted. I was so revolted. Every little morsel I had of, you know, pity for her is completely gone. I couldn't care less because, you know, just being a sibling myself, I cannot imagine ever speaking about any of my siblings like that in a public forum after knowing what they've gone through. It's just so inhumane to me. I don't understand how she'll sleep at night.
Exactly. And so for, you know, I've been frustrated because I've been dealing with this kind of back and forth with people saying like, you guys are going, you know, very hard on Jamie Lynn and it's really unfair. She's also a young woman. Like how, you know, why do you guys always bash the women, you know, Lou Taylor, Jamie Lynn, that's all I can think of right now. But, it really isn't a case of that in this specific instance. In this case, Jamie Lynn Spears is acting how her father, who has been Britney's primary abuser for 14 years, is acting. And I'm sorry, I do think Lynn, and it's clear Lynn Spears, or the mother, is a much more mixed figure in this. You can even tell by Britney's captions and the way that Jamie Lynn talked about her, which you really can't trust what Jamie Lynn has to say one way or the other, because half the time she's saying, you know, her mom's hitting her with a purse, and the other half the time she's, you know, I mean, it's insane. The hypocrisy is just off the charts. But what we can definitely say is Jamie Lynn, her behavior is closely aligning with her father, James Spears, the way she's speaking about Britney, the way she's treating Britney, the way she's gaslighting Britney. Britney has been gaslit for 14 years. I had a hairstylist friend work with her who had her phone number, it would be changed so frequently just to fuck with Britney, just so she couldn't get so close to people. It's so sick.
I feel like, you know, just going back to where people say you're always going after the women, I feel like it's just because Jamie is a known villain, right? Like, that doesn't need to be discussed. We know he's a known villain. He is the worst one. It's the women that are kind of like hanging in the balance. Like you said, like Lynn, do we know what side she's on? Lou, we didn't know that at first. Now we know. We know Lou's all the way on Jamie's side. Jamie Lynn was another one who's kind of hanging in the balance. Let's figure out, where does she belong in all of this? Because I feel like up until this past year, that wasn't always clear. Mm-hmm. Or at least to those of us who are not as...
No, it was not. It wasn't even clear to us until Britney gave the statement that she would like to sue her whole family on June 23rd, 2021. We had no clue where she stood. The last time I saw Britney with my own two eyes in court, she was sitting with her mom thinking she was going to be done with the conservatorship that day back in 2019. And now she's singing a different tune, saying things about her mom being on pain pills, but also that her mom was being very loving, you know, so it's very mixed messages. And also, you know, Britney has, just to defend her kind of what can be considered erratic captions and her erratic clapbacks to Jamie Lynn, Britney hasn't had access to her social media. And Britney has not had access to a normal, whatever normal means, but a normal education system. She was an understudy on Broadway at the age of 8. Then she was in Mickey Mouse Club at the age of 13. She took a couple of years to go to middle school and a few years of high school before she was flown to Switzerland. And she became, you know, by 17, she was fully formed as Britney Spears, the pop icon at 17. So from 15 to 17, they were making that happen. She missed out on every fucking thing. You know what I mean? She's not, so for people to be so quick to judge Britney and the way she claps back and the way she's working through this trauma, again, we're dealing with two women who have had trauma, but the difference is Britney is dealing with this trauma that has been inflicted upon herself. Jamie Lynn is somehow handling her trauma by detailing and recounting her sister's flaws that she sees and putting them in a book form. And somehow that's supposed to heal Jamie Lynn. Jamie Lynn, that's not going to heal you.
No. And I feel like, although they've both been through trauma, Jamie Lynn has had her voice the entire time.
And
has
had access to her own money from Zoe 101. And like I mentioned, access to Britney's money that her father would approve. And it's kind of apparent that James Spears came back. This is, I don't know if many people know this, and just to clear it up, James Spears was absentee for most of Britney's life of fame until what the media refers to as the meltdown, which I disagree with as a term, but that's what people will recognize it as, when she shaved her head and got the ambulance, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. James Spears was an alcoholic estranged from the family living in Louisiana. Right. Lou Taylor found him, told him about this way to get Britney under control. We don't know at the beginning if James ever had good intentions. Perhaps he did. But what we know is that this gross conservatorship was put into place by that point, and her voice was stifled from that moment on. So Jamie Lynn should have been clued in by the fact that her sister's number would change once a month. She should have been clued in by the fact that she would sometimes be so unaware of anything because of the amounts of lithium that they would dose her with, that she was barely functional, according to production assistants from the X Factor and whatnot. So, you know, it's just so mind-boggling that Jamie Lynn pretends to know so little. And then we see the text that she's releasing where she's like, she knows nothing about a conservatorship except for the fact that if you move states, you can get out of your conservatorship. Which, by the way, James was putting into place conservatorships in Hawaii, Louisiana, and New York. He was trying to work on that simultaneously to try to conserve her in multiple states, by the way, which is really fucked up, just side note. So it's just insane to think that Jamie Lynn is clueless, and it insults her own intelligence. It makes her look like a fucking moron to sit there and be like, I had no idea. I was just a 17-year-old, you know, pregnant teen mom. Are you still that? Because I'm pretty sure you're 32 now and have 4 kids.
To me, it makes her unbelievable. You know, that level of a lie, it's like, okay, well, if you're going to lie about something like this, and the rest of what you say probably has no merit either. You know,
the credibility's gone.
completely gone just by lying about the conservatorship, not acting like she doesn't know anything about it. I mean, it's just silly. It's just something that everyone's seeing right through. And I don't know why she, whoever her PR team is that keeps telling her to say this, they're not doing her any favors.
Well, you know who her business manager is, don't you?
I'm going to assume it's Lou Taylor.
It sure as shit is. So it feels that there might be an ulterior motive to slander Brittany's name.
No.
Because, you know, there are many people who would benefit for this whole thing to be proven wrong, to show that Free Britney was in fact a conspiracy theory and Britney does indeed have dementia, which, you know, the most fully functioning dementia patient I've ever seen four times in Vegas front row doing choreography and singing, et cetera, et cetera. Anyways, so it's just, I mean, now listen, everything starts somewhere. And do I think Jamie Lynn at the beginning was, do I think their whole family was worried for their sister in a degree? Sure. Do I question now how much was of their care was about Britney the person versus Britney the permanent ATM card, who was the highest grossing female artist of the entire 2000s. Still to this day, she has not, no one's come near to her. So I wonder what was the motive. And at that time, Jamie Lynn was young. So I'm sure she saw, you know, Britney even referenced that her sister loved Christina Aguilera and loved pop culture and stuff. So I'm sure she was well aware of the Perez Hilton articles and seeing all these horrific things written about Britney and seeing her shave her head. And I'm sure she was nervous and worried as a family that's personally dealt with mental health issues with myself. As I mentioned, I battled sobriety and addiction issues. I understand having your family support you and come around and help you and have to step in. But what I don't understand, and also as a cancer patient, you know, I signed over my finances to my mom because I was not able to, I chose to do that. But it was a simple power of attorney.
Right.
And it was my choice. And, you know, there are so many ways to have done this that would not have harmed Britney in such a drastic way.
Absolutely.
So I do believe that Jamie Lynn at some point might have not realized to the extent that her sister was being tormented and tortured, especially whenever Britney has a boyfriend during the conservatorship. She was always a little bit happier whenever she was dancing, especially in Vegas when she could see her boys on a regular schedule. She was happy. So I do think there were moments that could probably be confusing, like, oh, Britney did seem like very fine in Vegas for the first few years when she was dating whatever his face was and blah, blah, blah. But at a certain point in over 14 years, it's absolutely asinine to assume that Jamie Lynn Spears did not know anything as she became an adult and went from a 17-year-old teen mom to a grown person who has a daughter of her own. And that's the part that boggles my fucking mind the most, is how anyone, you know, I have a dog and I wouldn't let anything like this happen to my fucking dog.
Right.
That a mother could allow this to happen and know that she is, that her sister is also a mother who's missing quality time with her kids. Who's being abused, who is a woman who's being abused. So at a certain point, Jamie Lynn had to have known more. She had to have known why her sister's number was changed and why her dad was giving her husband $1.5 million.
Right.
And how she, you know, like I mean,
she had to just look at the lifestyle she was leading and look at the lifestyle her sister was leading. And something had to have crept in and said, this isn't right. This isn't fair. This isn't appropriate. But when those thoughts crept in, the dollar signs weighed heavier. And that, I mean, that's just what happened. I feel like you're absolutely right. When the decision came to be that she needed help, whenever it was 14 years ago, I feel like the conversation didn't start off as, how do we best support Britney? How do we make her whole again? It was, how do we protect the money? And that's
absolutely
where
and the image of Britney the brand, and in a greater sense, they're not quite obviously the Kardashians, because the Kardashians all need one another as an ecosystem of fame, but in their minds, in their deluded minds, they thought that they were protecting the Spears family name, which included Jamie Lynn and her, you know, superstardom of Nickelodeon, whatever. It's really, really disgusting. The more I, it's actually, this is my first time actually like kind of hashing it out, because like, it's just all been done through internet stuff and comments. Yes. And so it's like actually hashing it out with someone like you who openly admits that you weren't anti-Jamie Lynn like I am. To hear you talk about it, it makes me almost more impassioned. Like, yeah, that is really fucked up. Like, if you notice it, then right. I'm definitely not crazy, like, I've been in it for a while,
And that's so. What I was thinking. I'm like, I'm actually I'm her perfect listener. I'm the person that she's hoping to sway. So let's see what she's got. Like, I'm going to go in with a clear mind and just listen. And I'm like, honey, you lost me. You lost me the second you started slandering her name. And I will say, when I saw Brittany's response, and like you said, a lot of people comment, oh, it's erratic. Oh, they're, some of the sentences don't make sense. No, that is anger. That is 14 years of stifled anger coming out in a rage text. That's Tequila Katie texting. That is, right? I mean, we've all sent a text like that.
Oh my God. Go back in my post and look at me during my leukemia diagnosis and my recovery. I mean, I don't make a lick of sense because I'm dealing with so much trauma and untherapeutic anger. And all I was doing was describing makeup in my post. This poor woman has dealt with trauma for 14 years and now has to have it aired out for the world to see from her sister's point of view, which we're now realizing is a very skewered point of view.
Yeah.
And again, I don't, the whole do I matter, do I not matter thing. Jamie Lynn Spears does matter as a person, just like everyone matters. Everyone. Just like I volunteer at a homeless center because I think homeless people matter just as much as Jamie Lynn Spears matters, just as much as Britney Spears matters, just as much as Kravis matters. Everyone has fair existence. What Jamie Lynn has proven is that she is a spoiled, entitled, privileged little rich girl who grew up with the silver spoon that Britney provided. And Britney is now so livid because she's seeing the big picture, hindsight's 2020. She's looking back and she's realizing, wait, when I had my breakup with Justin, I came home to the house that mama bought, blah, blah, blah. And we get that whole story.
Yeah.
And we get the story of Jamie Lynn just having milkshakes and being waited on and, all this. And Brittany being like, I didn't get to have this childhood. So we do get that sister resentment, but this is not just sister resentment. No. This is a girl from, like I said, at 8 years old or even younger, maybe she was even like 5 or 6, but being a understudy on Broadway for the show Ruthless, then going to the Mickey Mouse Club, she was the breadwinner for this family,
right?
Hit the jackpot in the fame department, not to insinuate any other thing, but was probably a sexually, something traumatic happened to her during those young years because of the producer she worked with are now in lawsuits with Kesha and things that we know. Right. So we can only assume 1 + 1 = 2. So Britney has been through a lot all before the conservatorship even set foot. So the audacity for Jamie Lynn to want to not only tell her story, but to tell her story the month after Britney gets free from a 14-year imprisonment, and then has the more audacity to say that this is her story and to say, why can't I tell it? Do I not matter? And then for it to be all about her sister, and not just about her sister, but for it to be bashing her sister to better herself. I mean, she referred to Britney's voice as throaty and her voice as fluid and smooth. Jamie Lynn said that in her book, comparing the voices.
Insane.
The greatest selling female artist of the 2000s versus a girl who's never released a full album. So that's where the entitlement, privilege, and just assumption that mattering is equivalent to fame.
Right.
I'm sorry, we all matter, but that doesn't mean you deserve a platform to speak.
Right, exactly.
Still matter whether or not, whether or not I have a book coming out. So her to tie that all together just really fucking bothers me because it ties in very modern mental health language of giving, and she's manipulating and gaslighting the general population who may not be as aware of it. And they're saying, yeah, why is everyone, Britney had this whole movement dedicated to her and her poor sister got nothing. Well, her sister, it turns out, got everything handed to her and then some. And now that the keys to the kingdom are back into the rightful princess's hands, and all the goblins and all the monsters have got to clear out, they're scrambling. And I think Jamie Lynn is scrambling. And I think she really fucked up, and she should have scrapped the book altogether, or at least postponed and done a heavy rewrite, and just started off with apologizing to Brittany. And if she wanted to play the dumb card, she should have played it a lot sooner. Been like, I wish I would have known what was going on, but I'm sorry. Once your husband accepts $1.5 million from the Brittany estate, when Brittany had no control over the money, to me, the coffin has already been nailed shut.
Absolutely. You know, one other thing that I've been kind of thinking about is Brittany finally is free. And yes. It makes me so sad that she still has yet to be able to enjoy the little freedoms, like celebrating her engagement. I mean, think about any time any celebrity gets engaged, right? There's a full page spread, there's photos, there's an interview. They get to talk about how it happened. And, you know, he got down on one knee and, oh, I had butterflies. And it makes me so sad that she still isn't getting to enjoy those things, because
we get comments saying prenup.
Yeah, it's insane. It's like, I feel like everyone is so like condemn the former media, condemn, you know, everything that was done to her. And yet it seems like most of mainstream media still hasn't figured out that they're still the problem. So that's,
that's not going to be, it might not be well received, but we are also part of the problem in general, in the sense of not me and you, because we're not leaving those comments, but the general public who questions, no one's mental health should be questioned on a public platform in general, but the layers of misogyny, and I see it, and the reason I bring this up is because I see it primarily from other women who make this comment. Because listen, when a straight dude from Barstool Sports does a bit about Free Britney or whatever, we just brush it off, because their voices literally do not matter in the world. They don't have a say in what's popular in pop culture. They have no say in fashion. They have no say in entertainment. They have no say in anything. So whenever they chime in, we ignore them. But what's really disheartening is to see women going into these comments, especially knowing the gross, gross, gross injustices that Britney Spears herself has faced as a woman. And that is why every time I speak about it, I bring up the forced IUD and remind everyone that she wanted to have 4 to 6 children. And now she's 40 years old. And that truly might not be a viable option for her, because it might not be, you know? And that is so fucked up on so many levels that I think anytime someone gets the urge to comment, oh, this is kind of cringy, she should take this down, oh, she shouldn't say that, I think they need to remind themselves, what would I do as a woman if I was entrapped in my home? My dad had to approve all of my boyfriends. Thank God I finally found one who I got along with, who believed me enough to stay by my side and to help me get out of this conservatorship, even though it took about 5 years for Sam Asghari to help her figure something out. You know, all of this shit. Give Britney some fucking grace in the Instagram comments. If you don't have something nice to say, unfucking follow her and let her be. She clearly is seeing the comments because she blocked them and shut them off. She's now turned them on. So I think she's starting to realize that people really are supporting her. I think she's starting to feel the love. And I think it's crazy because Jamie Lynn's book tour or podcast tour was the push that gave Britney the realization that, wait, more people love Britney than are judging Britney for acting erratic. But Britney doesn't know this because she's been gaslit by her entire family, including her shitty little sister.
You're so right.
Who, by the way, is still gaslighting her. Every post that she does is a gaslight. Even the one that she posted where just very recently, last week, where she said, thank you for my book. You know, I'm so happy to tell my story and knowing that I do matter. You know, it's just like this matter bullshit again. Right. And I'm sorry, compared to someone who's been in prison for 14 years, Jamie Lynn, like your book just doesn't matter to me in that sense.
You're absolutely right. It doesn't matter. And you know, it might have mattered in about a year, 2 years from now, after we've heard and seen from Brittany, you know, what she's feeling? Because like you said, everyone's feeling matters, but there's a time and a place for that sort, like that story to be told. And I just feel like right now is absolutely not that time.
And the assumption that because she is Britney Spears' sister, that she is owed the same sort of respect and platform. And I'm sorry, we live in a pop culture media where that's not the case.
No.
It's not the case with the Kardashians. They have to deal with hateful media all the fucking time. And they are rightfully all famous on their own, in their own ways. Even some people say they're not talentless. Tell me how you build an empire with no talent like that. But but you know what I'm saying? Like Jamie Lynn thinks that she's owed this level of admiration that we, the general public, have for Britney. And we just, it's not owed to you. You still matter as a human being without the general population of the world admiring you because Correct. You're not a famous pop star just because your sister coincidentally became a famous pop star.
Right, exactly. I mean, her story is as relevant as my story would be.
Exactly.
With and regards my story. To, you know, popularity. It's like, no, I mean, we revere this woman. We honor this woman. That's why we want to hear her story, on top of the fact that she's owed a platform finally, if she chooses it. If she chooses it, because
thanks for saying that too, because she can do whatever, you know.
Absolutely. She's been robbed of her voice. And so now is the time for her to get to choose whether she wants to tell us her side or not. And I feel like that's what needs to come first before anything else. And the fact that she couldn't see that, she couldn't read the room, I guess, is just jarring to me.
Yeah. I mean, it's so disgusting and so jarring that you can't help but, I mean, I understand why people question Jamie Lynn's own mental health and say, like, maybe she really is struggling more than we know for her to be able to go out and put herself out there like this over and over and over again. Maybe she is the truly mentally ill one. You know, James, you want to get another conservatorship going for a daughter? Right, like, hey. Here we go. It is disappointing. You know, I hate the gossip. I just think about Britney having to see all of this shit aired out about her, because her whole life has been aired out. Before the conservatorship, she was being hounded by paparazzi. People were selling stories. People like Sam Lufty, that Svengali, who's attached himself to Amanda Bynes, Lindsay Lohan, and Courtney Love, he was using and abusing her beforehand. Then it switched to the conservatorship. She's never been truly free, and she finally is. So I don't mind getting into the gossip of it all, as long as the focus is remembering that we're not comparing two sisters who had a fucked up childhood. We're comparing someone who had a gross human rights violation committed against them for over a decade versus a child starlet who had an alcoholic father and a possibly absentee mother who with emotional problems because she was beaten by her fucked up husband. You know, we're not comparing apples and even oranges. We're comparing a fucking corrupt probate court and the world's most famous pop star to her sister.
Right. to her little sister. So what is next in the trial for Britney? Next is...
We're getting to the criminal case now. So that is why I'm dropping all these things about like Jamie's husband, look it up. He, you know, because files are now coming out. So Britney's attorney is focused on ending the conservatorship, which is what he did. And last week we had the court case where James Spears fought to keep Britney's money, at least a portion of her money, set aside so that he could use it to pay back the millions of dollars he owes to all these attorneys and all these people, which ironically he was using to pay in order to keep Britney entrapped in this conservatorship, which again, so mind-boggling.
It's enough to like make you crazy when you start
absolutely yeah when you start to think about it, and then think oh my god, I could say it, and then think about being spied on top of it all, and then you're like, how do they know what I'm thinking, like how do they know this text message, like, and then you have no idea they're literally spying on your equipment. I mean, it's just insane. So what's next is her attorney has set it up in this case last week so well that it is so entangled, the money and the finances. He objected to every single payment except for her conservator of the person who has peacefully resigned and has accepted everything and has done a peaceful transition as Brittany's, you know, regained her freedom in the new year. And the same with the conservator of her estate, which is her money. He's mm-hmm. resigned, and Brittany will have her finances sometime this week. It takes about 7 days since the court hearing. So sometime amazing. This week, she'll have her money back to her hands. James Spears has no more access to it. So her attorney has entangled the finances with the objections to paying, with the allegations of the corruption, of the espionage, the racketeering, and wow. the missing money. Because one little tidbit that I will leave you with is Britney Spears' estimated net worth is $60 million, which, hey, that's a lot of money, right?
Right.
But it's interesting. She's the most decorated artist of the 2000s, the entire decade. And you want to explain to me how Christina Aguilera has a net worth of $120 million, double oh. Britney Spears' net worth, but Britney Spears has, no offense to Christina, you know, I know there's a lot of shade between them and whatnot in recent weeks and stuff, but just by the numbers,
just math.
Britney has continually outsold Christina. So there's a lot of money is missing.
Yeah.
And about 24 different subsidiary businesses were opened and under Britney's name, even though she's not allowed to vote or register herself as a business itself. So how did those businesses get made?
Oh,
you know,
very gosh.
Corrupt stuff. Married. I predict this trial will go down in history as one of the most thrilling, corrupt, espionage-like entertainment trials since probably like the OJ case. I would say it's going to get so nasty and so messy. I hope to God Britney has got a support system in place, and I hope to God the rest of the Spears family gets a decent lawyer, because we're looking like jail time. I mean, we're talking like crimes of jail.
I hope to God they include you in the documentaries and the books that are written about this, because you are the most knowledgeable person on the topic that I have ever met. I'm so thankful for you, because I would know nothing without you.
Well, I do say this because people love to, you know, I mean, I appreciate being considered one of the faces of the movement, but it is the global movement. Every single person, like, you have a big platform. Anyone with a platform that's spoken out, anyone who's just spoken out and just said, hey, you know, Britney Spears is in a corrupt conservatorship, we are all part of this movement. And so it feels so universal that we've all, I mean, this little podcast is going to, someone's not going to know these details. They're going to spread the word. And so then when Britney Spears does her interview, that's one more person who believes her. That's one more person who can support her in her future endeavors, where she actually can make money and be happy. And we all kind of did it together. And it's weird because Britney, we're all in the same kind of age range, whether we're, you know, in our 20s, 30s, 40s, we grew up with Britney in a different capacity. And the least we can do is support her. She gave us so much. She soundtracked all of our lives, for God's sake.
Our whole youth is Britney.
And people who I know that are a little bit older, they're like, oh, she was a soundtrack to my college. Like, she was, I mean, it doesn't matter where you joined in. She's a soundtrack to something. So it's the least we can do. And we are all part of this Free Britney movement. So I'm so happy that you've kind of, you know, it caught your attention. And the Kardashian fans who follow you can know about this, because it really is a big problem that's affecting more than just Britney. So, you know.
Absolutely. So what's next for you, Jared? What's your next big cause?
Well, I am an ambassador as a cancer survivor and a bone marrow transplant recipient. I am an ambassador for Be the Match, which is a bone marrow donor system, and it can save so many people's lives. It's the reason why I am still alive. And unlike a lot of transplants, it does not involve any death or destruction. You know, like a heart unfortunately has to come from someone who's passed on. Right. Donating at Be the Match, you can just go in and do the donation, and if you're ever called, and that's it. And you can save someone's life. So that is my passion project. It's not my project. It's a huge charity. But please look into bethematch.org and see if you can at least sign up to be in the registry. And if they ever call you to save someone's life like mine, answer the call.
I love that. Thank you so much for that. And I'm so honored, I guess, to be able to speak to you and have you on my podcast. I know that you have your own podcast.
Yes, Back on Air with Jared Lipscomb. We'll be back in February. So check it out if you're so inclined. I cover everything. You know, last season was all about Free Britney. Now that Britney's free, I am reworking the system to see how I want to cover everything. But it will be back if anyone wants to tune in. I'm sure I will have you on when we do our Kardashian deep dive. But yes, I have that. And I'm getting back into makeup because my recovery's, you know, getting better and better. So keep an eye on my Instagram for makeup tutorials. And as I get back to work, if you're into makeup.
All right. We're going to have to do a side-by-side about blush. I told you that's my biggest fear. So we'll get into that and everyone will see me covering my face in blush. Thank you so much, Jared. I have had the best time chatting with you and you've taught me so much.
Oh my gosh. It's such a joy. I love chatting with you in the kind of flush, yeah. But gosh, this has been so fun. And I'm so excited that, well, I guess I'm just excited to hear someone who, you know, is kind of more neutral, hear their point of view, because I'm so in the Britney world. So thank you for informing me. It's been eye-opening on both ends. So thank you.
All right, everybody. We will talk to you next week. Bye.